Father, we just thank you for tonight. Father, we thank you yet again as fellow believers that we can come together as you have instructed us to do so in your word, so that we can encourage one another, Father, so that we can build each other up and give us a new, you know, outlook and energy for the rest of the week. Father, we just thank you for this Wednesday night service, Father, that we can be encouraged and that we can love one another and that we can get a refreshed view of your grace, Father, each and every day. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, like we had said before, this isn't a very long, chapter, but it is a very good chapter. There's a lot of good truth in it, and I hope you guys get as much out of it as I know I did when I had been reading through it. But it's got definitely some powerful things to talk about. So, at the very beginning, we're just going to talk in Romans chapter 7, verse 24 through 25. Paul said, "A wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Now, if you look at that verse, you'll notice that he didn't say, "I thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord." He was saying, "I thank God I'm delivered from the body of this death through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Because that's what we do have to be thankful for, is the fact that we've been delivered from this body of death through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So in other words, Paul was describing the futility, like we've been talking about in the past few weeks, the futility of trying to serve God in the flesh. You know, the flesh is the part of us, our body, our soul. Sometimes people use soul and mind interchangeably in that sense. But those things will always fall short. They're always going to have little shortcomings. So, I mean, the imperfection that we are sometimes, you know, it just can't be perfect. So how do I ever get out of this? You praise God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, I have a brand new person inside of me. So that's basically a rephrasing of that verse. But I mean, your body, your mind can never be perfect. So we had to be made perfect. And by doing that, we are made perfect through Jesus Christ. Through no other way, no other sacrifice, no other works or deeds or anything like that. So I mean, that is one of the things that we've been trying to get across. I know from Romans chapter 7, it's talking about the futility of trying to take care of things on your own and trying to, you know, just basically when people set up rules and regulations for people, it's trying to train the flesh. You know, they're trying to train the flesh to do certain things or to not do certain things because they think that's going to glorify God. Well, the only way that you're going to glorify God is if you're in the Spirit. And by being in the Spirit is where you've been redeemed from this body through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And that's why when we go on here into Romans chapter 8, it speaks of letting our born-again spirits dominate our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Romans chapter 7 describes frustration, defeat, and sin coming alive. Romans 8 overflows with victory. As I said earlier, the Spirit or Spirit is mentioned once in chapter 7, and 21 times in chapter 8. So Paul was contrasting Christ through us in Romans chapter 8 with our trying to live for God by our own power, our own deeds, which is Romans chapter 7. So I know that we talked about that at least a few weeks ago. So I mean, when you really start to look at those things and look at how much of a struggle and how much, if you look at chapter 7, you can see how defeated Paul would have felt trying to live his life by himself or trying to do certain things, because then every time that he fell short, he was going to be like, well, I'm worthless. I'm not any good. You know, I want to do these things, but I just can't seem to do it. I seem to be driven by some unseen force. And that's why he's saying that when we've been born again in Christ, when we are in Christ, we no longer have to be bound by that nature that will continue to bring us down and continue to make us think that we're failures. So, I mean, that's what's so powerful about the difference in when you contrast those two chapters. So, in Romans chapter 8, verses 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Who is in Christ Jesus? We are. Good job. You guys are. If you've been born again, you have that new man. With this new nature, there is no condemnation to you when you are in Christ and walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's just a continuation there, verse 1. So if you'll let this brand new Spirit live through you, there is no condemnation, no judgment, no sentence against you. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can hold you down. This born-again man doesn't have any limitations or inadequacies. As Jesus is, so you are in the Spirit. Why don't you guys let that sink in? I'm going to read it again to you because I really think that's something that a lot of people in church don't have any kind of grasp of this concept. This concept of grace and the fact that you have been made perfect and that there is nothing inadequate about you any longer. When you have been born again through Jesus Christ and through His sacrifice, there is nothing inadequate about you. There is nothing that should have any kind of limitation on you or anything. So let's read it again. It says, if you'll let this brand new Spirit live through you, there is no condemnation, no judgment, and no sentence against you. Nothing can stop you. So I want you to think about that. No sentence against you. Whenever, anytime you feel that something's holding you back, that's a lie of the devil. Anytime you're thinking that something's trying to hold you back from church, that's a lie of the devil because he's just trying to hold you back from your relationship with God. But when you've been born again, there is no sentence against you any longer. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can hold you down. This born-again man doesn't have any limitations or any inadequacies. As Jesus is, now remember this, as Jesus is, so are you in your spirit. Your spirit. Yeah, exactly. Andrew Womack's saying of wall-to-wall Holy Ghost, or, you know, 100%, or 100% of one-third of you is perfect. There will never be any kind of upgrades or, you know, refreshes or anything like that. Your spirit has been made brand new. Your spirit has been made perfect. And when something's made perfect, it doesn't need any more work. Okay? So the perfect sacrifice that Jesus made has made you perfect just as He is. And that's one thing that we have to remember, that as Christians, and like it says here, as Jesus is, so are you in your spirit. So when you pray to God, when you communicate with God, He is seeing you through the veil of Jesus Christ. So that's why we're told that we can come boldly to the throne of grace with confidence, because we are praying to God, and if we're born again, we go to God and He sees Jesus. He sees that perfect sacrifice, that perfect spirit, everything that He has done upon that cross has been made whole, and that you have been made whole at the same time. So condemnation, let's go on here to explain a little bit more of verse 1 of chapter 8. When it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Let's take a look a little bit at condemnation. It says condemnation refers to declaring something unfit for use. So when you condemn a building, you declare it unfit for use. The devil tries to do this to each and every one of us by saying, you are a sorry thing. What makes you think that God would use you? That is condemnation. Or any time that someone says that you're not worthy, or anytime someone says, oh, well, you know, or when Satan tries to tell you, well, you're not, you know, if God really wanted to do this for you, He would. But He doesn't want to because you've been missing church lately. He doesn't want to do this for you because you've done this or you did that. No, when we are in Christ Jesus, there is no more of that condemnation. Satan can't bring that against you because all he's trying to do, once again, is hinder your relationship with Jesus Christ. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law that governed my old man declared, you are a loser and a failure. You can't lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You can't prosper. You can't be happy, and you can't have joy. A lot of Christians still feel that way. They still feel that they can't have joy. They still feel that they can't be happy, that they aren't meant to prosper, and they still believe a lie of the devil that says, I can never lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Well, the good news about that is that when you're born again, that old man is dead. That old man is now dead and gone. There is no more of that. You no longer have to live up to a certain standard. Jesus Christ already did it for you. So you can prosper, you can be happy, you can have joy, and you can lay hands on the sick and see him recover, because that's just exactly what Jesus had declared that we would do. The law that enforced his rule isn't over us any longer. So let's look at Romans 8:3. For what the Old Testament law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. If I would not have been imperfect, the Old Testament law would have been great, because there would have been a way that we could have lived up to it. I would have kept it, and that would have solved the problem. But because I was imperfect, through my flesh, the Old Testament law, instead of being something good, actually became my condemnation. So God sent his own Son as a man and judged sin in his flesh. I mean, that's basically, Jesus had to become, just as the Old Testament gave us examples, and a good book that we've been reading, I know, is called Destined to Reign, and one of the chapters that it's talking about, it talks about these different sacrifices, and it explains how, and it shows a nice little cool diagram of this lamb that's sitting there, you know, without spot and without blemish, which was Jesus. So we had to look at the Old Testament as a picture of a shadow of what's to come. And they had the hands that was laid upon the lamb, which was imparting that sin from that person into that spotless lamb. Okay? Well, that lamb was spotless, and because that sin went into them, the righteousness came basically from Jesus, is now ours. So when Jesus went and died on that cross, he took all of our sins, all of our sickness, disease, you know, anything that pulls us down, emotional distress, whatever the case might be, everything was imputed upon Jesus. So that when Jesus died, he died because the wages of sin is death. The blood, you know, we had to have, without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness of sin. So Jesus died. We were forgiven our sin because he became sin. The man that was perfect on this earth, the only one that ever was perfect, took all of our sin and died on a cross so that we could live through him in that same way. So we can live through him with that same power, with that same reverence, with that same spirit just living on the inside of us. So let's take a look at this a little bit further in Romans chapter 8. We're going to go through verse 4 and verse 5. And I want you guys to understand that there's a difference between in the flesh and after the flesh and in the spirit and after the spirit. So it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit the things of the spirit. Okay? It says if you are born again, you are in the spirit. Okay, so when you've been born again, you are now in the same spirit of Jesus Christ. You have that same spirit, and that is what we would call a positional truth, something that's not going to change. It says it's the way you are, but you might not be walking after the spirit. You might be walking after the flesh and letting your physical life dominate. And this will be the key to tell you guys if this is the way you're living. It says, which means you won't experience in the natural realm the victory that's yours in the Spirit. So in the Spirit is where we have been given all of our promises through Jesus Christ. If we're not experiencing those things in our life, chances are we're walking after the flesh and not walking after the Spirit. So if you're letting your physical life dominate, your physical self or your not only your emotions, but the way your body feels, you won't experience in the natural realm the victory that's yours in the Spirit. But the truth is, positionally, you are in the Spirit. So, in other words, it's saying that in the positional truth, you are already made righteous through Jesus Christ. Okay, there's no more righteousness that's going to be imputed to you. You're not going to change your status by doing anything with God. But your righteousness has already been attained for by Jesus. So if you aren't born again, those people that aren't born again are in the flesh. That's their position. But you could walk after the Spirit. So in other words, you could imitate the things of the Spirit if you're not in the flesh, or if you're not in the Spirit. You can imitate the things of the Spirit, although you could do some things right, it won't change your standing with God. Only being born again can do that. That's why it says that Jesus was, you know, the only way, the only truth. You know, Jesus was the only way that was going to lead to heaven. There's no other way, no other doorway besides Him. And so, excuse me, that's why when people say that being a good person or doing good deeds, this is what he's talking about here in this fourth and fifth verse. He's saying the people, just because they're doing things that might look like they're going after the things of the Spirit doesn't necessarily mean that they're born again. That's why some people can say, well, I'm a good person. Well, that doesn't matter. Because first of all, you have to be positionally righteous or positionally, you know, in the Spirit before you can actually be in the kingdom of God. So in here speaks of your position in Christ or in the Spirit, so to speak, or not in Christ, which is in the flesh. This is consistent all the way through this eighth chapter of Romans. However, after speaks of how you are experiencing things. So this is what we're going to go through next, is talking about what are we experiencing, because what we're experiencing in our daily life is just a natural reflection of what we're going after, or what we're being led by, in another way of saying it. So in verse 5 it says, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So how can you tell if you're walking after the Spirit or after the flesh? What are your thoughts focused on? Are they on the flesh? Is your mind occupied with fear, strife, depression, or poverty? If so, then you are after the flesh. If you're after the Spirit, you'll be thinking about God. You'll be meditating on His Word and who you are in Christ. It really is that simple. Because when you think about it, if you are experiencing things of the flesh, chances are you're glorifying the things of the flesh. So if you're experiencing sickness and you continue to experience sickness and hurt and pain and all this kind of stuff all the time, it is more than likely because you continue to confess that stuff. I'm sick, I'm in pain, I'm this, I'm that. And you claim all those things, therefore you're going to experience those things all the more. So, here's what he's saying, and you're going to experience the same things. If your mind's occupied with fear, with strife, depression, with poverty, if you don't get your mind off of those things, that's what you're going to continue to experience. So if you're after the flesh, if you're after the flesh, obviously you're going to reap those things of the flesh. But in order to be after the Spirit, we have to be mindful of the things of God, because when we start to glorify in any kind of situation, we start to glorify what is written in the Word of God, we will start to experiencing the benefits of what is in the Word of God. You know, when we start to go after the things of the Spirit, which are in the, which are contained in the Scriptures, then we will see those things manifest in our lives. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So when you start being mindful of the things of the Spirit, you'll start to experience life, you'll start to experience peace, and all of those things. So if you're thinking on carnal things, you are after the flesh. For instance, if someone treats you badly, and you mull it over again and again, you'll be hurt, depressed, and offended. That's what carnal mindedness produces, death. It's not so much that what the person did to you that made you angry or bitter and upset, it's the fact that you meditated and thought on it that empowered it in your life.
That's right. Amen.
That is a very powerful thing to understand. Because when someone treats you bad, it is not necessarily the fact that they treated you bad that makes you so upset about it. It is the fact that not only 5 minutes later, but an hour later, the next day, and the next day, you're still thinking about it. You still have your mind on those things of being hurt. Still have your mind on, well, that person offended me 6 years ago. And it's amazing how long people hold on to those things.
Yeah.
Because they'll see somebody that they haven't seen for years. And instead of being like, hey, it's good to see you, the first thing that comes to their mind at even the sight of that person is what they did to them 5 years ago. They were thinking about it. They continue to think about it. And so what do? They continue to reap the bitterness. They continue to reap the anger. And they continue to reap those things. And when you start to sowing those seeds to the flesh, you're going to reap the things of the flesh. You're going to reap death. Just like he was saying in carnal-mindedness, it's not necessarily that carnal-mindedness leads to death. It is death. It results in death in your life. It's not just a leading cause or a factor in it. I mean, it does cause death, period. But thank God that the other side of it is just the same. You know, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So Womack here tells a story about himself. He says, I've had people come against me, but I've learned to be quick to cast things over onto the Lord. I refuse to think on the negative side of things. There are people who have promised to kill me if I ever set foot on their property. There are nationwide ministers, people you'd know if I name them, who believe that I'm the slickest colt since Jim Jones. They've even proclaimed that publicly. People have used my tapes to criticize me. But do you know what? I don't think on those things. And as a result, I'm not hurt or offended. I've held meetings and been on the exact same platform as some of these folks. I've loved them. I've sent people to their church and given offerings toward their projects. I speak nothing but well of them. I'm not angry or bitter because I don't dwell on those things. And the same thing can be for every single one of us. You know, it's not what the people do that makes you angry, but it's how you think about it, how you dwell upon it that does. If you're carnally minded, you'll get carnal results. If you're spiritually minded, you'll get spiritual results. You know, that is just so true and so powerful to live by. But it's also such a simple concept. You know, it's the whole fact that you don't expect to get oranges if you plant seeds from an apple. Mm-hmm. If you do, you're kind of crazy. So if you think about it on the flip side, if you're sowing things of the flesh, how in the world do you expect to reap the fruits of the Spirit? You know, I mean, that's why Jesus, I mean, he points it out so very often about sowing the seed. You know, sowing the seed, you reap the harvest. You sow the right seeds, you reap the right harvest. You know, so you guys, we all sow these different seeds in our life. And so it is up to us what we're going to reap in our lives. In verses 7 and 8 of the 8th chapter of Romans, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Lost people cannot please God. They are in the flesh. They aren't born again. They don't have the life of God inside of them. And they have this old nature, or that old sin nature that we used to have as well, instead. For them it's impossible to please God because... And in verse 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh. And this is talking about us. So he's saying, let's read the 7 and 8 real quick. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay? But thank God we're not in the flesh. As it goes on, it says, but ye are not in the flesh. You guys are not in the flesh. Therefore, you do please God because you have been born again. You have received, you have believed upon Jesus Christ. Therefore, you have been born again and you aren't in the flesh anymore. You are in the Spirit. Now, you may be walking after the flesh and getting the same results as you did before you were born again, but the truth is you aren't in the flesh anymore. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, once again, just reiterating that fact that those that are in the flesh cannot please God. They can't belong into God's family unless they are in the Spirit. They cannot belong and they cannot go to heaven if they are not in the Spirit or in the Spirit of Christ. So, we could continue to beat this over and over again, but thank God none of us here... We've been born again, so none of us here have that problem, right? We're in the Spirit, so we please God. We don't have to do anything to do it, but we already please God because we believed upon Jesus. There are some powerful truths here, but basically it's saying that you are already free in Christ. You have this new Spirit on the inside of you, And the only thing holding you back is your stinking thinking. You still think like you're married to that old man. You know, well, I resisted for a while, but I'm just an old sinner, you know. I'm going to sin anyway, so I might as well give in now. If you think that way, you are walking in the flesh, and you're going to reap that corruption. So here's what we got. What we all need to realize and begin to confess over our lives instead. And actually, I want you guys to repeat this after me. You ready? All right. I'm free. There's nothing in me that's making me defeated. There's nothing in me that can make me depressed. No outside circumstances can make me discouraged. My spirit is always, always full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All right. Say, I have a choice. Will I let hurt, depression, anger, and bitterness rule me? Good. There we go. Good job. Or will I be spiritually minded and let who I am in Christ reign? It's my choice. Amen. If you guys think that way, you'll be walking in the Spirit. You'll be free to receive God's blessings and goodness. You know, I mean, when we start to realize that we do have a choice in the way that we act, the way that we think, how long we decide that we're going to be hurt, which really, when somebody else hurts you, I guarantee you they're not hurting about it. So you can mope, you can complain, you can cry. But I guarantee you they're not gonna know. So you might as well get over it, because the only person that's being hindered at that point is you. Mm-hmm. The only person that's relationship with God's being hindered by you holding on to resentment and being mindful of the things of the flesh is you. So we need to choose to be mindful of the things of the Spirit and start sowing those things into our life, and we'll start seeing those things be reaped in our lives as well. Just exactly what we read through there. We're going to see those gentleness, the fruits of the Spirit. We'll see gentleness, peace, temperance, you know, all those good things we'll start seeing in our life. Amen?